Hello, radio family. Welcome to Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. I am your host, Daniel Fazina, and I am very excited to be here today. Got some wonderful guests to share with you today. We're going to be focusing on the music industry today and what God is doing through that industry. You know, friends, I just love it when God sends me these amazing people who are phenomenally talented and who are using their gifts to glorify God. I think that's wonderful. And I have two examples of such people today. In the second half of the show, I have the honor of introducing you to Plum, who many of you may know. We play her songs quite a bit here on the radio. But right now, I have the pleasure of introducing you to a phenomenally talented young artist by the name of Erica Johnson. Erica Johnson is the second of five children in her family. Her parents are both entrepreneurs and have groomed her from a very young age to follow in their footsteps of financial independence and entrepreneurship. Erica self-funded her first EP at the age of 15 and continues to pursue her passion for music, performing live in front of hundreds of people each month across the nation. Her life is a picture of faith in action, and her story is one that has impacted hundreds of thousands around the world. You're going to really enjoy hearing from Erica Johnson. She has a phenomenal testimony in addition to being a very talented musician. So without further ado, it is my honor to welcome Erica Johnson right now on Divine Intervention. Erica, you are on Divine Intervention. Thank you so much for taking the time out to share with us.
No problem. Thank you.
Oh, it's my honor. Now, Erica, you've had an interesting life so far, and you're still a young lady, only 19 years old, and we want to get to your beautiful music, but take us to the beginning a little bit. Tell us about your background, your childhood growing up, and what that was like for you.
All right. Well, to start off, I have grown up in a fantastic family. My parents are entrepreneurs, and...
to say the least.
Yeah. they've groomed me up for success. They're not I'm trying to think of the right word. They're not very
typical, traditional?
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're not like everyone else. So they live by the word. I've lived up as a Christian, and ever since I was 4, the Holy Spirit was just covering my whole life. Every step by step, it was just step with him, and it was absolutely amazing. And I've always had a heart for the homeless, for the orphans, the just it's really hard for people, really. That's just how I was raised up. In general.
Oh, that's a great thing. And you know, for someone so young to have that passion early in life, it's a huge benefit. So I'm thankful for that your parents raised you up in that way, and that you're, you know, following the narrow road. That's wonderful. Wonderful
too.
To see. So is it a little weird being the daughter of people who are, let's face it, I mean, your mom is actually pretty famous now. Is that weird for you?
Not really.
Okay.
I've expected it to be like this.
Okay.
I've always known that there would be a stepping stool in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing what my mom does and what my dad does, it's kind of what I've been groomed with,
right,
what I've
right.
lived with, so it's not weird.
And for anyone who's not familiar, for anyone who's listening in, we are speaking with Erica Johnson. She's the daughter of Hans and Danny Johnson. Many people may know Danny from ABC's Secret Millionaire and from Oprah Show and DannyJohnson.com. She's a wonderful entrepreneur. But this show is not about her. This is about you. So tell us more about, you know, your background. And, you know, when did you actually make it personal that you decided that you wanted to follow Jesus?
When I made it personal, that's an excellent question. I believe when it really first started to sink in was when I was 11.
Okay.
I went on a mission trip to San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
And I lived on a bus with a bunch of young teenagers, and what we did was we lived on the streets with homeless people, and when I saw these people hurting, and they were so happy just to have given food and just to receive prayer, was just absolutely breathtaking. And just to see the level of leadership in the team and just the heart that we all had and just, like, wanting to give, that it was like, wow, God has put on each and every person's heart to give. And God can give me this, like, in a different way. But, I mean, look at all that I have, and I'm even touched by it. Like, God's just so good.
Yes, you know? Yes, he is.
And that's really when it got really personal. And from that day on, I just knew I am supposed to be his daughter and just be his, really.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just really when it sunk in.
That's great. I would encourage anyone out there listening, if you haven't gone on a mission trip, whether it's a short-term mission trip locally or maybe overseas, that's where, in my opinion, God really meets you, and he stretches you, and he shows you things, and it really will change your life, as you've attested to, and it changed my life, too. I went on a short-term mission trip to the Dominican Republic back in 2000. I was very close to abject poverty. People there had no running water, they had no paved streets, they had very spotty electricity. They had tin shacks, basically, strewn together for houses. And, yeah, the people were so appreciative and happy and joyous to, you know, just to know that people were coming to help them. And I think they helped me more than I helped them, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it was a great experience. So, okay, let's take it forward a little bit. You're now 19 years old, and you are a gifted musician. I was just totally enamored by you when I saw you play live at one of your mother's First Steps to Success conferences. Friends, once again, you are listening to Divine Intervention Radio, and I'm your host, Daniel Fazina. Our special guest today is Erica Johnson, who is a very talented young musician and songwriter. So, Erica, tell us, how did you get into music in the first place, and how did you develop this beautiful gift that you have?
Let's just say that I sang before I could actually speak.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, that's what my mom tells me. But it really... I haven't really taken any lessons or anything like that. Like, I've taken, you know, some tips and maybe some lessons from people, like from musicians and vocalists.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really been, like, singing's my big thing. And I actually would sing in tongues, my mom would say.
Wow.
At the age of 4. And and then, like, when I would have a piano in front of me, we used to have, like, this big grand piano, and I would just play it, and my mom would come out, and she would just be, like, crying, and I'm like, I don't know what I did, you know? But it's really cool, like, how that all started. At the age of 15, I actually self-funded my first EP.
At the age of 15?
Yeah, at the age of 15.
Wow.
That was an experience. Like,
now, answer me this. I have no idea how much an EP costs to produce. And I'm sure our listeners are curious, too, how a 15-year-old does this. How much does it cost? I don't even know.
Oh, thousands.
Thousands. Yeah, well, I figured thousands, but...
Yeah, it depends on the hours, on how much hours are spent towards the recording, and then there comes the master music, like the musicians, and then, like, the equipment and all that.
Yeah, and they all have to be paid. It's not cheap, I know.
Yeah.
And to rent a studio is sometimes hundreds of dollars an hour, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And we actually did it. My friend had connections, and we did it inside his house.
Okay.
Which was really cool. It was, like, at first I thought it would be, like, this big glass window and all the really fancy equipment, and all it was inside this really small house, and it was awesome. Like, it was great.
Well, we're going to play one of your tracks from the EP. A little later on in the show as we go to break, and it sounds wonderful. I think you did a great job, so congratulations on that, and I think everyone's going to really enjoy it.
Thank you.
No problem. So you did this this EP, and you self-funded it. Now, being that you've been groomed for success and to be an entrepreneur, how did you actually earn the money to do it?
Well, my dad, he had... got me started on saving money.
Okay.
So, like, with allowance and then, like, taking on, like, babysitting jobs and all that, my dad showed me how to put it all in an account.
Right.
So we just put it in a savings account.
Okay.
And it just kept going on and on. And then I started working at my parents' events, like my mom's seminars.
Mm-hmm.
and that accumulated like hourly wages and everything. So
that's great.
It came up pretty fast.
So teenagers out there, take note. My gosh, to be able to fund your own EP at 15, that is something to be very proud of. So again, congratulations. So you were 15 years old and you cut your first CD. That must have been very exciting for you. Tell me about the process and how it all worked out for you.
Well, at first it seemed like it was going really slow.
Okay.
But it really, like, I was really excited, obviously. But also very nervous, because
mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm 15 and I'm doing this. And it was really good. I mean, my mindset is different, and like when it comes to putting things into your goals, or like, you know, investing is the word.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like with that type of mindset, and then being around a bunch of other people who would like buy an iPod or buy junk food, or
mature beyond your years, I can tell.
Yeah, that's what happens when you live with a millionaire.
Right. Oh, wow. So this is great. And what's the name of your album?
Well, the album's really just Erica Johnson EP.
Okay.
I don't really have a name for it, but the three songs that I have available are called Another Day, Break the Chains, and Mercy.
And I had the opportunity to hear all three of these live at your mother's First Steps to Success event, and we're going to play Another Day at the end toward the break. So everyone at home, stay tuned, because at the end of the segment, you're going to love hearing Erica Johnson's new single, Another Day. I am your host, Daniel Fazina, and this is Divine Intervention Radio, and our special guest is Erica Johnson. Her name is spelled with an A, in case you're searching her on the internet, A-R-I-K-A Johnson. Now, Erica, you've actually had a miracle healing and a pretty serious situation come into your life back in, I think it was November of 2008, is that correct?
Yes.
All right, you were 16 years old at the time, and tell us what happened.
Well, the short story really is I was getting ready to go to school, actually, and we had like a homeschool program, and what I was doing was I was getting ready to go, and then all of a sudden my head started to it just was painful, and then it was just to the point where I couldn't drive, so someone needed to pick me and my brother up to go to my school program, and I mean, I really couldn't function at all, and I was like tripped to the bathroom, and it was just really bad.
No, so, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the least and 10 being the most pain, what would you think it was?
10.
10 out of 10. Wow. That's bad.
Yeah, definitely 10. And so who was watching us, because my parents weren't there, she had to take me to prompt care. They gave me a shot for nausea because I was just, it just kept coming out. And it was just nasty. But they gave me a shot. I was asleep for most of the day. And then once that nausea shot came back, I just kept throwing up every 10 minutes. So she had to take me to the emergency room at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And so they're like, we're going to take you to a CT scan and we're going to see what's going on. They come out and they're like, well, we need to transport you over to the Stanford Hospital. So it seems to be that you're bleeding in the brain and we need to take you immediately.
Bleeding in the brain. Wow.
Bleeding in the brain. So they had to like, it was just a chaos. And
sure.
Like my friend Issa, who's basically like my sister, she was there, went with me, and just everybody came, like my grandparents from Oregon, and it was just like a crazy experience because it was just, it happened so fast, and
mm-hmm.
my parents were in Arkansas at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to fly like to get the next flight to come see me. And it just happened all too fast, really. It was like, I don't remember half of the things. But what happened, like, the doctor came in, he said, it looks like you have a double aneurysm and an AVM. And it basically is like a cluster of veins, really, that started to bleed. And so they needed to do, like, a angiogram. So they went through my artery up to my brain with a small camera, and I had to be awake for the whole procedure.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
My stomach is turning just now. I have a weak stomach.
Yeah.
For this.
Yeah, this is the same week of Thanksgiving. So convenient.
Oh, wow. So basically, you have a double aneurysm in your brain at this point.
Yes.
That's bleeding.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the place where it was at, it was going to be really sketchy because I could have gotten like brain damage, where the part where you can lose your vision, and then your legs and all that stuff. And so coming out of, I mean, having to have the surgery and being awake, because what they did was they put wires all over me so that they could do this electricity thing to make sure that I'm still, like, I can still feel things.
Wow.
And that's why they had me awake, so that they still think that I'm alive.
So in addition to the electric wires, I mean, how did they actually repair the veins?
What they did was what they explained it was super glue.
Super glue.
All a coil.
Okay. Yeah.
So they went in and stopped the bleeding and basically put a Band-Aid on it.
Okay.
And so then they reduced the aneurysm with radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Like that they said where it's at, they won't really be able to get 80%. Well, the miracle was they got 90% instead of 80.
Wow.
Which was awesome, yeah. And it was definitely scary because I couldn't, like, half the time I didn't know what was going on.
Sure.
Of all the medications, the pain, and, I mean, every night it was, like, pain, and nurses waking you up, like, every couple hours, and having to feed you to get stuff, and I couldn't go to the bathroom, like.
Yeah, I know, I've been there.
Nerve-wracking. Yeah.
So, how long were you in the hospital for?
I want to say maybe a week.
Okay.
Week and a half, I think. Like I said, half the time I don't remember.
Yeah. Now, when you came out of this, yeah. I mean, did anyone tell you, like, just how serious this was? I mean, a lot of people, when they get brain aneurysms, they don't survive.
Well, I didn't really know.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that I almost lost my life, and this is what my mom told me. One night, I just stopped breathing. So my mom had to keep me awake in order for me to keep breathing. So they had to take me through a CT scan to see if I wasn't, but
right.
I did almost lose my life that night. And it was really scary when the doctor was telling you and your parents are right next to you saying,
sure.
This is what you have, and your chance of doing this is critical. Like, probably will die.
They actually said that?
It's like one out of, I think they said, it was a small, not a small percentage, but it was a interesting percentage, because they said this, like, if you do an open brain surgery, there's a chance of dying, but if you also do an angiogram, there is a chance of dying, but it's not, like, a high percentage.
Okay.
So that's what they told me, and this is, like, really serious, but
right.
Then my mom told me what it was, and I was like, oh, okay. And also, Bruce Lee died with a double aneurysm, so I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
And everybody's telling me, dude, you had an aneurysm, you could have died.
I'm yeah.
Like, yep, I could have.
Yeah, I mean, brain aneurysms are a very serious thing, but
yeah.
Praise God that you came through it. Obviously, he had a calling and a purpose for your life, and I believe that your music is going to go far and wide because it is so just amazing. So
the best thing about it, really, is, like, when I came out of it, I wasn't able to walk, and I came into it, I actually went to one of my mom's events, and I was like, I don't care what you say, I am going to this event because people are ready for change, and I don't care if I show up in a wheelchair, I'm still going, and people are used to seeing me walk around the event and help them out, but when they saw me in a wheelchair, I'm like, oh my gosh, what happened? And I was like, you know, you'll find out later. And then the night before, I had a dream, and Jesus was in my dream, and he said, get up and dance with me. And I was just like, okay. The next morning, next thing you know, I am walking and getting myself ready, and just absolutely phenomenal.
Wow. So he healed you basically overnight.
Yeah, pretty much.
That is awesome. I love hearing stories like that. Wow, once again, we are speaking with Erica Johnson. She is a talented young musician, and we're going to hear one of her songs as we go to break. We just got just about a minute left. Erica, if you want to talk to someone out there who may be struggling with doubt about God and about faith, what would you like to speak to them?
To anyone that is listening, I know that whatever you're going through, it can be overwhelming, and you feel like you're stuck in a hole and you can't move. But I know that God is a redeemer, and he can rescue you in whatever position that you're in.
Hmm.
And he is there, and even though he might feel that he's too far away, or when your prayers are just hitting a brick wall, keep pressing in, because when you knock on a door, he will always open it.
Mm.
He loves you no matter what, and he is there for you. And no matter what, if he feels like he's not listening to you, he is listening. Just take everything out, all the craziness, and just let it go and say, God, this is for you, and it's just you and me, and that's bothering me, the things that are driving me insane, God, it is yours, and I am yours, and all I am and all the things I do are yours.
Amen. Let that be an encouragement to you, friends. We are speaking again with Erica Johnson. Her name is spelled with an A, by the way, A-R-I-K-A, Johnson. Check out her EP, Erica Johnson EP, and we're going to play a song called Another Day, and then we'll go to break. So, Erica, tell us about your new song, Another Day.
Sure. Actually, I wrote this song before people that were hurting.
Okay.
The ones that were cutting themselves, the ones that, like, thought their appearance was just terrible, and that their the ones that were going through really hard times, even, like, the ones that were suffering sickness or pain with family or anything like that. And so when I wrote that song, I actually had a personal friend who was struggling a lot with family and with self-image, and to the point where she was so depressed and she could not just, like, she just didn't know what she was supposed to do. And I was like, God, I know what that's like, because I've been in that place where I feel like I, like with friends and all that, where they hurt you, and God, all I can do is just worship you, because you are what matters, and you are the one that keeps me strong.
Mm-hmm.
So when I wrote that, it was really for one of my friends in her area of, like, depression, and I was like, God, I worship you no matter what.
Mm.
No matter what happens with my family, no matter what happens with my friends, no matter what happens at work, no matter what happens at school, I will still worship you. No matter what happens if I get sick or if one of my friends dies, like, no matter what, I will still worship you. And after that, my mom, like, after the whole sickness of being in the double aneurysm, and she's like, Erica, this song is crazy. It's like, before this happened, and you are still worshiping him, and
right,
you're still pressing through, and look at what he's doing. Like, he is helping you. And I'm like, oh, this is amazing. So this is a song that I would hope would help anybody that listens to that song, help them go through whatever they're going through, and just, like, to let everything lay down and just worship him.
All right. Thank you so much, Erica Johnson. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with another amazing artist called Plum, and we'll continue with our theme of music and what God is doing in the music industry. So here it is, Erica Johnson, Another Day. Stay with us after the break. We'll be right back with more on Divine Intervention.
Just machine, just empty inside, wishing for a different life than mine.
Hey, this is Daniel Fazina. Thanks for listening to my show, Divine Intervention. If you enjoy the testimonies featured on my talk show, I've also written a book series containing more amazing stories of God's divine interventions and miracles. More information about Divine Intervention, Amazing True Stories of God's Miracles Today, Volumes 1 and 2, can be found at DivineInterventionRadio.com. That's www.DivineInterventionRadio.com, or by calling 866-381-BOOK. That's 866-381-2665.
What's happening? This is Fieldy from Corn. You're listening to Divine Intervention with Daniel Fazina. Stay tuned.
First Steps to Success with ABC's secret millionaire, Danny Johnson, gives you the tools to remap your internal beliefs about yourself, about your money, and about others. You'll learn a simple but powerful system to create success in any environment, as well as business building, leadership, sales, and marketing skills to create the lifestyle most only dream about. First Steps to Success with Danny Johnson. More information can be found at DannyJohnson.com or phone 866-760-8255.
Baby blues, so full of wonder. Your curly cues, your contagious smile. And as I watch, you start to grow up. All I can do is hold you tight.
Love that song. That's In My Arms by Plum. I'm Daniel Fazina, and welcome back to Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. If you're just tuning in, we are focusing on the music industry today and what God is doing in that industry and through some of the artists. Before the break, we heard from Erica Johnson, a phenomenally talented young artist, singer, and songwriter who shared about her life and her music and also her testimony of miraculously surviving a brain aneurysm that should very well have killed her if not for God's providence. Right now, I have the pleasure of introducing you to another amazing artist, the singer of the song we just heard, Plum. Throughout her decade-plus career as both a songwriter and artist, Tiffany Arbuckle Lee, a.k.a. Plum, has established a highly respectable voice in both Christian and mainstream circles. The breadth of her creative relevance is seen not only in her own music and thought-provoking lyrics, but also in the innumerable other artists who cite her as an influence and her relevance in a number of surprisingly varied genres. Despite a semi-respite from traditional Plum activities from 2005 to 2010 to have her three children, Lee has remained highly active and reached several career peaks during this time. The 2007 so-called lullaby album, Blink, has sold nearly 100,000 albums and boasts over 1 million singles worldwide. Lee's otherworldly voice has proved a perfect fit for numerous film and TV uses like Vampire Diaries, Bruce Almighty, One Tree Hill, and many others. Her latest single, Drifting, featuring Dan Hasseltein of Jars of Clay, enjoyed the strongest start of any Plum single to date, premiering with ads at both K-Love and Air One and quickly becoming the most added Christian single in Christian music in September 2011. Now with the final touches going into her sixth studio album, Faster Than a Bullet, due early 2012, Plum looks to a return to live performance, continued writing, and a healthy balance of a meaningful legacy and burgeoning future. It is my pleasure to welcome Plum right now on Divine Intervention. Plum, you are on Divine Intervention. Thanks so much for taking the time out to share with us.
Thank you for having me.
It is my honor. I'm very excited to have you on because we've been listening to your music here for quite a while, and just an honor to have you. We want to get to your music and your career, definitely, but why don't you take us to the beginning a little bit? Tell us about who you are as a person, where you're from, and what your background is like.
Well, I'm Pisces, and I like long walks on the beach. I'm just kidding.
I'll keep that in mind.
I am a Pisces, but I don't really keep up with that. I was born in just outside of Indianapolis, Indiana, and more or less grew up just outside of Atlanta. My dad was Delta Airlines guy. And after high school, I had sang just more or less for a hobby. It was just some people are more athletic, some people are more musical, so any opportunity to sing in a coffee shop, homeless shelter, you name it, church choir, school, chorus, whatever, I was just always singing. That was kind of my thing, and I had some opportunities to sing backup, and so I sang backup, and then I was asked to do some recordings for some demos and then some background vocals in the studio, and so it kind of led from kind of doing my own little thing on the side, very independent, to singing a little bit more professionally in the studio or for other artists, and then was offered a record deal in 96 and signed it, and here we are kind of fast forward from there. So this is nothing that I really ever planned or ever thought out. I loved to sing from my earliest memory. I've always loved to sing and perform and be kind of dramatic and silly. But I honestly, truly thought, just kind of based on my upbringing, my mother was a stay-at-home mom and my dad worked a job that I'm sure there was elements to it that he liked, but overall he hated to go to work every day. And so in my mind, you know, your job is something you don't necessarily love to do, but you have to do. And so I didn't really have at the front of my mind that music would ever be something I could do professionally. I would probably end up doing something that I didn't absolutely love for a certain amount of time. And so I kind of put school off for about a year to save money for college. Mm-hmm. And in that time frame is when some more professional opportunities kind of came my way, and it was kind of staring me at the face of, hey, you get to do what you love if you'll kind of seize the moment and take a risk. And so I did. And
how were you actually discovered? You said you were offered a record contract?
I was. I am in singing backup for somebody. There's a kind of a small imprint of a larger label here outside of Nashville. Their A&R, head of A&R, had heard a song that I was singing backup on, and when he saw us live somewhere, he asked who the brunette was and how he could get her name, and called me at home, and I had a message at home in my apartment from Robert Beeson of Essential Records, and I was like, he must need a backup singer for something. So I called back and made the appointment to have the meeting, went in, and had absolutely no idea but for the fact that their only real artist that they signed, because they were a pretty new label, was Jars of Clay. And I was like, they must need a backup singer for something on Jars of Clay. And he said, we'd like to offer you a record deal. And that's a really long story short, but I was like, really? It's a joke? Like, it just doesn't seem like it happens like this. And so, again, I just said, sure. I'm kind of a bit of a risk taker that way. So I just said, opportunity. I hope I can be faithful with it. So I just said, okay. And so there wasn't a lot of planning in that. I was kind of ill-prepared to be a writer and an artist because it's not something I'd ever really set out to do. And so I had a lot of stuff that I learned, and some of that naivety and just kind of riding a wave of rolling with the punches was good. And then some things you definitely started to realize, wow, if I'm going to do this long-term and be a professional at this, I need to be a little more intentional. And so that led to me signing a deal with a different label, with a different contract that lended itself more appropriate to me being an artist and a writer long-term.
Okay. Now, do you feel like you're doing what you love as a profession? Do you feel like you're doing what you've been called to do? And how does that make you feel as far as, you know, being fulfilled and doing something you love as opposed to going to a job you hate, let's say?
I absolutely love what I do, but I have learned that it's not one-dimensional. And so as quickly as I identified myself as a singer as a young child, and then I developed into a writer, I found avenues to be an author and to be a speaker and maybe to be an actress and to,
oh, wonderful,
you know, be the comic relief in a room of, you know, serious sometimes. And so I think there's a lot of different dimensions to us, and I think sometimes people do limit themselves when they just kind of put themselves in a box and say, I'm a, and then you fill in the blank and say, I'm a this. And so it's like, I'm a human, and I have a lot of creativity in me that is going to kind of reveal itself. So in my teens and in my 20s and in my 30s, like, I've found different things about myself that I didn't know before, and I think that's really exciting.
Right. Well, friends, we are speaking with Plum, and she is, as she mentioned, not just a singer and a songwriter, but also an author and a speaker and a very talented and gifted individual. I'm Daniel Fazina. You're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. Now, Plum, as we like to share testimonies on this show and really just point people to Jesus, so can you tell us about your faith background and how Jesus became part of your life?
Yeah, I honestly am so thankful to say I don't have a memory of him not being presently with me. I was born into a Christian home. My parents were Christians. They had been Christian. My mother became a Christian when she was 12, and my dad became a Christian when he was 30, and I was 4 years old. And so I don't have a memory of my parents not being in the church and not being Christians. And my grandfather, my dad's dad, was later in life, he became a minister. And so being around the church and kind of growing up around the church, that's kind of all I knew. But I remember around 19, when I had graduated from high school and kind of the security blanket of what had become the norm for me, and I was, you know, exposed to different beliefs and different opinions and different thoughts and different values and different interests, my faith was tested. It was... you know, you don't have mom and dad in the next room. Their checkbook is not, you know, a phone call away.
Right.
You know, it's just you really, there was a reliance upon him that was a new experience for me, which I think most people, obviously, when you kind of leave your parents' safety nest, you experience a different, you know, level of trust and faith in God. And so my faith deepened. But at the same time, I had kind of been catapulted into a career of music where you're surrounded by people asking for your autograph and wanting to put you on a stage and turn on lights and put a microphone in front of you. And there's an element of narcissism that is fueled. And so I went through a really, and I still struggle with this, but I went through a phase of self-centeredness that I knew in my head that the world did not revolve around me, but I certainly didn't act otherwise. Like I behaved as if the world kind of was on my timetable, and I just kind of did what I needed to do to get done what I needed to get done. And if that hurt other people or if mistakes happened along the way, I wasn't really using those as teachable moments. And I was just kind of trusting that God would still be there. And so I didn't go to church very often. I blamed that on touring all the time. And, you know,
so easy to get sucked into that rock star lifestyle.
And
huh?
So I definitely was, you know, obviously I was a Christian the whole time, but I have had certainly different levels of experience where just in any relationship, you can have a friendship that you're really close, and then there's a season in your life where you're not as close, but you still know them and care for them, and then there's another season where you're closer than you've ever been. And so I definitely went through a wave of distance of like, God, I believe that you will always be there and that you always are there. I do believe that. But I'm going to kind of do my own thing for a little bit, and I'll just be really thankful when I get my act together that you're still hanging in the balance of saying I'm still here. And so,
Plum, how did you get away from that mentality and like mature a little bit or grow up a little bit?
Well, it was in 99 when I was in the process of leaving my first record contract. There was a lot of political and legal challenges that were brought up when that happened. And some of those I look back with regret of the way things were handled, and some things I'm thankful for what was learned. But I had to rely on him more than I'd ever had in my life, because in my career and that the way music was at the time and where I was at the time, I had to kind of go underground, and all the relationships in music, which was basically my family, everything outside of my immediate family was music. Mm-hmm. And so I had to kind of hide underground from those relationships for a little while some things legally were being handled and settled and communicated, and perceptions become reality for people, and people create opinions about you that may or may not be true, and just lots of, you know, more or less, you know, in business, some people are getting their way, some people aren't, and the people who aren't are upset with you, and mm-hmm. you know, and you're just kind of finding yourself, because as I mentioned earlier, I didn't really plan to get into music, and so once I was kind of there, and I was finding out who I was, and it wasn't exactly what I had hoped for myself, I was like, you know, I need to pull back a little bit. And so certainly the people that spent a lot of time and energy and money getting you to where you are, you look them in the face and say, thank you, but no more. I'm mm-hmm. going to do something different. And they're like, whoa, 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 what? We've built this. We've helped create this. We've funded this. We have believed in you, and you're going to do something else. And so, you know, there's a lot of discourse. And so I'm a people person. And so to kind of have to retreat from what was familiar was really lonely. And mm-hmm. it was really kind of scary to know what is going to happen. What is going to happen? And so I was roommates with my brother at the time. He had moved to Nashville for a job, and so we became roommates. And he had been asking me to go to church with him for quite a while. And I was like, hey, I'll totally try it sometime, but I'm gone this weekend. I have a show. You know, I'm gone that weekend. I have a show. And I would periodically go to a few different churches in town, but I didn't have a church family. I didn't have that accountability, even right. though I had a lot of Christian friends. I still was surrounded more by the business of music than I was the Christian community that I had hoped to be with. And so I remember one day I went to church with him, kind of on a whim, and I walked in the door, and the first person that greeted me was my 8th grade Sunday school teacher from Georgia.
Wow.
From where I'd grown up as a child. And
they were in Nashville?
And she was in Nashville. Her husband had gotten a job in Nashville. They had started going to this particular church, and so I walked in the door, and I saw home.
Mm.
I saw someone that knew me as a little girl.
Wow.
And knew me before the Plum stuff, knew me before music, knew me before the fans and the lights and the mics and the, mm-hmm. you know, autographs and the whatever. She just said, hey, Tiffany, oh my goodness. And she hugged me, and I started to weep, and she was like, are you okay? And I was mm-hmm. like, I didn't realize how alone I've been. I didn't realize how selfish I've been until this moment. God's been with me this whole time. He's been patient with me. He's been present, and he's been, and then of course I didn't rattle all of this off to her in one breath, but I was thinking of how he's never left,
right.
never walked away, and the kind of patience he's had to have with someone so selfish as me that he would put my 8th grade Sunday school teacher in my face. And so she just held me for a second, and she said, well, you're home. And I was like, aww. Yeah, I am. And that's the church that I met my husband there. I have had all three of our children in this church, baptized our children in this church. We still go to this church to this day. And
praise God. Isn't that amazing how God can bring someone just to right where you need them? I mean, to me, that sounds like a God moment right there.
It absolutely was. And so I immersed myself in that community, and sometimes it conflicted with touring schedules, and I started learning how to say no, and I started learning how to say, if my faith is that important, I have to make sure that's in check before I'm going to go about doing all these other things, because I think that good is the enemy of best. And I think there's a lot of good stuff that I could go do, but it was competing with what was best for my soul. And so I really needed to be around the community and the accountability of the church who were going to help love and mold and shape me into who Jesus died for me to be. And I couldn't do that by myself. I couldn't be a Christian by myself.
That is
I ultimately was trying to be a Christian by myself without meaning to. And so
That's great to hear. That is great to hear, and to know that you're really spiritually grounded now and you have things in perspective, it's wonderful. Once again, friends, if you're just tuning in, we are speaking with Plum. She is a musician and also a speaker and an author and an all-around very talented individual. Plum, we just got a couple of minutes left, but I want to know, how has your music impacted your fans, and what kind of feedback have you gotten from that? And then I want you to set up your song, your latest track, Drifting, with Dan Hasseltine of Jars of Clay. I want to know how that came about, and then we'll end off and we'll actually play the song.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole situation with my music and how it impacts people is I'm just kind of the pen and the ink and the voice of kind of trying to be transparent before an audience of people that God can use, mm-hmm. and to be a finger or a toe or a nose or an ear or whatever. And that he can use. And I've always hoped that, again, I'm not, certainly don't think I'm dumb, but I'm not the overtly intellectual, incredibly deep thinking person. I'm usually...
That's okay. God can use that, you know?
Thanks. I'm usually the comic relief in the room. And for a season of my life, my brother is incredibly intelligent. He's a professor, he's a therapist, all these deep, you know, big, huge word things that he does, and there's moments where it's like I'm a mother of three, and I think that bodily function noises are hilarious, and I'm, you know, always getting my hands dirty and living life to its fullest and not trying to overthink. And then sometimes I feel bad about that. Sometimes I feel like, should I be, you know, different, more intellectual, more whatever. And I've really in this season of my life, I've grown to realize that I think I exist to inspire and to encourage and to make laugh. Mm. And so I hope that my music has done that. And I've had a significant amount of feedback that I feel like a lot of fans have found hope in my music resonating with it and connecting with it.
Well, my wife and I certainly enjoy it. She's the one who turned me on to your music in the first place, and it's just wonderful stuff. We play it on the radio, and I just want to wish you all the best with it. We're just about out of time, but if you want to real quick tell us how your collaboration with Dan Hasseltine came about for your new track, Drifting.
Yeah, Dan and I and my producer Matt and I wrote the song. We wanted to write a song that kind of touched base on a similar subject of people not feeling alone in their circumstance, but being a little more specific in how people can often feel marginalized or feel like an outcast or whatever, for whatever reason. Maybe it's because of who they love, maybe the color of their skin, maybe it's their status or their race, or, you know, there's just a number of reasons that you can feel isolated and lonely and hopeless. And instead of the church, it's kind of a split, there's a dichotomy in the song of like wanting to inspire the church to be more loving and truly think about the golden rule of loving others the way that you want to be loved, regardless of their status or circumstance or life choices, like of just embracing and loving people the way that Jesus did. And then on the other side of that, resonating to the person directly that says, we want to err on the side of love versus judgment. And you in your situation are not alone, no matter what it is on the crest, the other side of that wave that you can't see beyond, that you feel so hopeless as if you're just drowning and wanting to give up.
Right.
To see if people that feel exactly the same way and you're not by yourself in it. So to kind of join those together, and if they could feel less alone and more hopeful, and the church could do a better job of extending both arms without question, that I feel like we could be a stronger earth, a stronger universe.
All right. Well, Plum, thank you so much for taking the time out on Divine Intervention to share your story and your music. check her out. Again, her name is Plum, and here is her latest track. It's called Drifting, and it features Dan Hasseltine with Jars of Clay. I'm Daniel Fazzini. You're listening to Divine Intervention Radio, and God willing, we'll see you again next week for another exciting episode of Divine Intervention. Here it is, Drifting by Plum. Take care, and God bless.
There's a sea of lonely, swimming sad, looking just for an arm to grab.
Hey, this is Daniel Fazzina. Thanks for listening to my show, Divine Intervention. I hope it has inspired you. More information about the show, free downloads, and podcasts can be found on the web at www.divineinterventionradio.com.